I've had the chance of traveling around the Lake Chad Basin in the past few weeks, and just this week I was in the northeast of Nigeria and really struck by the gravity of the situation. 5.2 million people who were really on the edge of hunger, 2.2 million people who have been forced from their homes because of the instability perpetrated by Boko Haram. This is something that's now touching the north of Cameroon, the west of Chad, the southeast of Niger. And of course, the root cause of this crisis is the abject poverty which afflicts the region. It's the environmental stress on Lake Chad itself. It's the fact that we have demographic growth, which is particularly important in Niger and Nigeria, and the growth of the population, which adds significant challenges in terms of finding jobs, finding things for the youth to do. So there are some very structural underlying causes of the suffering in the region. And I was really touched by what people told me there.
Can you tell us what you heard? What did people say to you?
Well, I was in Maiduguri, the main city in Borno State, as well as in Yola, the main town in Adamawa State. And I had the chance of driving on the road in the north of Adamawa State and listening to people there. Really, one is struck by two things. The first is people who have been displaced want to go home. Many have tried. Some 200,000 people have managed, but the vast majority of people have told me it's just not safe to go home yet. The second thing I think that really struck me was the tremendous energy and resilience of people who are asking much less for humanitarian aid and much more for a type of assistance that will empower them, whether it's getting the schools up and running. And UNICEF, working with the Ministry of Education, did something absolutely fantastic this week. They've given access to every child in the city of Maiduguri for the first time in a couple of years. It was a tremendous result just on Monday of this week. But people have asked me, can you give me some seed money so that I can go back to trading and go back to my life as a person who was busy working in a market generating money for my family and myself. People have asked me, can you get me some seeds and tools so that I can take advantage of fields where it is safe to plant and sow crops? And so I think that what the UN agencies and the non-governmental agencies have been doing in the humanitarian domain is great. I think that it's a moment as well, in parallel to the continued response to this crisis. In parallel, we need to be thinking much further ahead.
So what is it that you would like to see happen?
Well, I think that the donor community and the government of Nigeria, in this case, but also the governments of Cameroon, Chad, and Niger, can be working in a more concerted fashion, looking long range. What is it that really needs to happen in the Lake Chad Basin in terms of natural resource management? What needs to happen on the security track? What needs to happen in terms of development? And there I would really underline the need for vocational training for the youth, education for children. But also, let's take a look at the case of Maiduguri, a city of about 1 million people in the northeast of Nigeria. The population there has been hosting 1,600,000 IDPs from the neighboring towns and villages. Tremendous solidarity, incredible generosity shown. But the question is, if the displaced population is unable to return home, and as time goes on, how do we manage the situation in Maiduguri, which has really now got a population of 2.5 million people? What are the urban planning challenges in terms of water, sanitation, education, healthcare that need to be addressed? And how can the United Nations agencies such as UNDP, such as UN Habitat, such as the UN Environment Programme work with the local authorities and in particular the governor of the state, who's very dynamic, to ensure a stable, prosperous future for that city, which has more than doubled in size in the past few months?